This is Inside MSide, your favorite podcast for all things Morningside. Hear stories from students, alumni, faculty, and more about what makes the Morningside experience so special.
Welcome into another episode of Inside MSide. This episode, we have the 2022 Sharon Walker Faculty Excellence Award winners with us. For those listeners unaware of the Walker Awards, they were established by Jim and Sharon Walker in 2003. Criteria for selection includes teaching excellence, effective advising, scholarship, and service to Morningside. These winners submitted examples of work they've done, and they also had a in-person evaluation by three outside evaluators. Each winner received a $10,000 honorarium and $2,000 for faculty development. So introducing our three award winners, we have Dr. Kim Christofferson, Professor Shelby Prindeville, and Dr. Tom Paulson. Why don't we have each of you kind of just explain a little bit more what you are doing currently at Morningside. Kim, we can start with you.
Sure. So I work in the Sharon Walker School of Education, and I primarily teach in their Masters of Arts in Teaching program, which is our graduate program for classroom teachers or people who are working toward their initial license after having gotten a bachelor's degree. So I teach quite a bit online, and I teach our action research courses where our students are guided through the process of basically doing a small classroom research project that will help improve their own learning and to also hopefully help improve their students' learning. On top of that, I am also the campus educational technologist, so I help my fellow colleagues to integrate technology into their own teaching, and I also assist with helping people use different types of learning strategies based on how they're teaching. So whether it's face-to-face or online or blended, I try to help people teach the best that they can, however it is that they might be teaching.
Shelby, how about you?
Yeah, I'm the art department head here. I teach courses that support four of our five majors. So studio art, graphic design, art teaching, and arts administration. And then our fifth major that so far I haven't taught within is photography. We have a really dynamic arts department. Five majors is a lot for a small school. So it's pretty exciting to be over there and get to oversee what they're doing. I teach everything from the intro courses all the way up to the capstone course.
And Tom?
And I'm the department head for Applied Agricultural and Food Studies. I teach courses in our department in Applied Ag, but also in Agricultural Teacher Education, as that's the second major we have in our department. I work primarily with our capstone students, and then this past year I've been teaching courses in our new Rose and Ag Center and Lagasholte Greenhouse. My background experience was with high school agricultural education, managed greenhouses for a lot of years. So it's been a lot of fun to teach in a really high-tech greenhouse and introduce students to new opportunities within agriculture.
And speaking of, you know, backgrounds, Tom, each one of you guys have, you know, a different background that brought you here. So why don't we talk a little bit more about what you've done prior to coming to Morningside that has helped you guys excel in your roles here. Tom, if you want to start with just expanding on some of that work you did in greenhouses prior to the one here.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a high school agricultural education teacher for 21 years and then got into higher education, got a PhD a little bit later in life and got into higher education a little bit later on. Was involved in training teachers at another institution for about 8 years and then overseeing a student-managed farm. So those experiences have helped a lot in helping me develop and the vision for and implementation of what we have here at Morningside.
And Shelby, with you and being able to teach in five different kind of majors in the art department, how has your background allowed you to kind of be able to be so versatile?
It's a great question. I really like all of the different disciplines. I think they all inform each other and build your skills in unique ways. So in undergrad, I got a concentration in sculpture, in part because I knew it was potentially going to be difficult for me to have access to some of the big equipment and kilns again afterward. And then when I decided to pursue my master's, I actually switched and focused on an interdisciplinary painting and drawing program. And I chose one that gave you 2 years of instructional teaching as well. And I purposefully picked up classes in other areas that I could teach there too, with the support of the grad school program, so that I could, you know, even more broadly consider different areas. Then I went and took a position at the University of St. Mary as their art program director. And at such a small school, you really did have to be able to be a jack of all trades. So I sort of honed different areas at that point as well.
And Kim, for you, I mean, just how has the last couple of years with like COVID and things kind of influenced how you've taken on this technology and teaching type role, so to speak?
Wow, COVID changed a lot in our industry. Mm-hmm. So I think that I was so happy that I took the educational technologist position approximately 8 years ago and really started to hone my skills in online pedagogies and things like that. And I'm glad I did that, because holy cow, it came in really helpful for my colleagues 2 years ago when we were told, you get to go remote. And so very quickly built up a couple of training opportunities for everybody here, which were very well attended, and hopefully they were helpful for everybody who was here. Just really quick, what are the types of tools you need? Here's how you can help students who are not face-to-face with you. And the other thing I think that COVID helped me with, which is not technology related, but is more on the student relationship side, is in our online programs, we work a lot with adult learners, people who are working, have families, have other obligations, plus they're trying to do school. And through COVID, I think we, at least I'll speak personally for me, learned a little bit more about how to have grace with students, to allow them to have a life, have difficulties, and how can you adjust your own instructional delivery to do that. And that has helped me throughout, we're not really past the pandemic exactly, but I know that I'm going to continue using those strategies with my students who are online, because our K-12 teachers are still feeling it very strongly in their schools. And so, COVID, I think, changed a lot for me, but my prior preparations, just being in the position I was, really, really helped me to help other people.
And how has your research in trying to integrate technology with teaching, and whether that's face-to-face, you know, in-person, or a blended, you know, half in-person, half not, or even just strictly virtual, how has some of the research you've done and things you've worked on, what kind of impacts have those had?
What I have learned through this is that good teaching really transcends any kind of modality. And when I started teaching online more often, I found that I was taking the strategies for online teaching and really starting to apply it to my face-to-face classes as well. You know, some of the extra structure that we provide on our learning management system, some of the extra communication that I would do just normally in my online classes, I started doing in my face-to-face classes also. And then, of course, some of my face-to-face stuff, you know, I try to be relatively creative in my face-to-face classes. I keep trying to challenge myself to see, how can I try to do something like that online? It's more or less my experience than my research that has really informed it, but it's really changed the way that I taught in a really significant way.
For sure. And excuse me, Tom, it's been a big year for the ag department and food studies department, obviously, with, like you mentioned, the new greenhouse, some additional things for, you know, your outdoor classrooms and things. But a lot of your research has been in kind of effective teaching and learning in agriculture, obviously, and talking about, you know, capstones and things of that nature, and teaching students also getting that in field experience or in the greenhouse experience. Can you expand a little bit more on some of that research you've been doing in those type of things?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, over the past, you know, eight or 10 years, have been working a lot on looking at effective practices, best practices for education and higher education, and especially in agricultural education. It all comes back to experiential learning, and how do we really engage students in that experiential learning, that experience. And it's more than just giving them an experience. But we've had a tremendous year in having now new facilities to give those experiences. But, you know, as you look at the research in experiential learning, it's that transfer piece. How do you reflect on and really internalize what that learning was, and then help students to translate that to a career, to additional new learning? We never stop learning. You know, we've got a few students that are going to graduate here in December, and they're excited they will never have to take another class. And I said, but guess what? You're never going to stop learning, and they'll be in training in their new jobs probably within the month. But transferring what that skill set that they have to new learning is critically important. And those are best practices in higher education.
And Shelby, for you, I mean, I know this has been talked about before, but the artist in residence at a veterinarian school being the first in the United States to accomplish that is quite the feat. And also collaborating in the development of a new polymer clay professor at LSU. Could you just share a little bit more about both of those experiences and how you've translated those experiences here?
Sure. So like when you were asking me, you know, how do you get so interdisciplinary within art? I mean, interdisciplinary can be outside of art too. And I think art is a synthesis of everything. You know, when you're talking about experiential learning, art is experiential learning. If you want to make a piece of ceramics, you got to figure out the math and the chemistry angles too, because that's just like how it actually works. And so if you're really into different areas of art, at least for me, I think you end up getting really into everything, because that fuels, you know, how you do artwork. And science and art, I think, are really natural overlaps for me, particularly because I'm very interested in ecology and a conservation-focused practice. So I was really fortunate. I think I've done a lot of artist residencies. I love doing them, and I built up enough of a body of work that LSU, wanting to launch the first ever artist in residence at a veterinary school, they really wanted someone who they knew could come in and actually set the tone and make the program successful. And it was such an honor to be selected as that candidate. And it was so fun. I got to use veterinary materials in completely novel ways that no one's done before, and then see how it turns out. And there were lots of curveballs that threw into my artwork, and I love responding to that sort of chaos.
And for each of you, what does it mean to be a Walker Award winner this year, both for yourself individually and for your department, as both of you and your department benefit from this?
Well, it's an honor. It's, first of all, it's a humbling honor. And it reflects on a lot of hard work, but it's not just hard work from me. It's hard work from a lot of people in our department, hard work from our students, hard work from all of our faculty. We all work together and collaborate on a lot of things, and we have the opportunities to work together and help each other. And we get a lot of ideas from each other as we do that. You know, I've learned a lot of things as I've had a chance to come here to Morningside. We've been meeting with a lot of candidates lately in coffees, and I get a chance to tell them that Morningside is not a place of silos, but a place of collaboration. And a little ag pun there for those who didn't quite catch the silo humor. But it really is a place where we can get together and really create new things and encourage each other. And I've been encouraged, I've been supported, and we have absolutely fantastic students that aren't afraid to try some new things when Paulson gets a wild hair and wants to do some things outside of the box. And it's a pretty special place to be able to do those kinds of things. And I really appreciate the Walkers for their contribution to this opportunity.
And Shelby, for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to second. Of course, it's really an honor. It's a very rigorous selection process. Involves a completely independent team of outside evaluators. They come to your classroom, they interview you. It's really exciting to be a part of that. And it's great to have the art department sort of spotlight in this process. I think a lot of times the more hands-on academic programs sometimes feel like a weird stepchild. People are, you know, writing chapters and books and doing conferences, and we're over here, you know, doing exhibitions, and it just looks a little bit different sometimes. So it can be really exciting to see that other people too can see what we're doing, even if it is sort of a little bit of a different scholarship than many other departments on campus.
Sure. And Kim, for you as well?
For me, it is an honor, as Shelby and Tom said. I think it's also, it's validating. I think all of us really try our best to be great teachers. I've been here at Morningside for about 16 years now. And the people who have won this award in the past are people who I aspire to be, were my mentors. And so it's really, really, really nice to win the award. This one is special. This is, not to brag, it's the third time I've won the award, but this one is especially valuable to me because it was one for an online class, and that's the first time that that has happened. And so because I'm not teaching face-to-face this year, they couldn't come to my classroom. So I had to bring my classroom to them and really try to communicate to them what does it mean to be a student in one of my online classrooms. And I'm thankful that they were willing to do that. So it's very great, validating, humbling. I mean, because you look at the list and it's a lot of really great professors on that list.
Kind of shows the way the world's trending too with online classes, and now being able to teach your classes online and still be able to get recognition for that is very special. So congratulations to you and to all of you on that, being able to receive this award. My last kind of question or train of thought for you guys is, for each of you, what makes Morningside unique from being a professor, a department head, an advisor, a mentor to students? For each of you, what makes Morningside unique in that sense? And Kim, we can start with you on that.
Sure. I have a feeling we'll all say this, but it's really collegial, as Tom mentioned. The culture here between faculty is unique, and which is fantastic. And the other thing that I think makes Morningside very special is for people like me, who tend to push the boundaries in their own classrooms, we are given the latitude to do that. And so I've done some really experimental things in my classrooms and have been given the support to try it. And even if it doesn't go great, it's fine as long as you make changes and, don't screw up again type of thing. but because we really do need to push our boundaries of how we teach our students, they need different things than they did even 15 years ago when I started. So the whole idea of experiential learning and taking that project-based learning, really getting students engaged in meaningful, authentic, transferable skills is really important. It takes a lot of creativity to do that, and we're given the latitude to do it.
Shelby, for you?
Yeah, I do think we're all going to say the part about our community, but it's because our community is truly amazing. And it's not that like other places don't have a nice community, right? Like people in general are good and kind, and like it's nice probably everywhere. But I have taught at other institutions, and this community actually genuinely invests time into those relationships and forges a much deeper bond across not only faculty and staff, but with the students too. We have a lot of programs with faculty and students working together, like the Summer Undergraduate Research Program, where you get these experiences with students and with faculty and with staff that forge such a connection with our community that it's very special. And if you haven't gotten the chance to get to know that feature of Morningside, I mean, just spend time here and you'll get there, because it's just a warm, caring place. And we do all sorts of things at work together, and then we do stuff outside of work together. I had three students who wrote me letters for this over to dinner the other night to thank them, and they got to see my gecko in my plant collection. It's nice to have that community.
And Tom, we'll let you bring it home here.
Yeah, I tell you what, they said a lot right there, and I agree with absolutely everything that Kim and Shelby said. It's 100% true. I guess one of the examples I just would like to share, I share with friends of mine and colleagues from across the country that we just received a National Endowment for the Humanities grant for an Ag Humanities minor. And they look at me cross-eyed saying, what are you talking about? Those kind of experiences, like Shelby and Kim were just mentioning, they don't happen at a lot of other institutions. And for us to be able to actually have the fun collegial relationships and the professional relationships to do some really out-of-the-box thinking, Morningside is a very unique place, and I'm very, very happy to be here.
I think that'll do it for us here. Thank you to all three of you for joining me. Congratulations again on your awards for this year. And that'll do it for this episode of Inside MSide. Thank you guys for joining us and listening.